Investigations week is almost over, but there's still one more case to close, and that's the judging and elimination episode. One of our teams is going to take home the top spot this week while the other team loses a member. How will this unsolved mystery be solved? Find out right now on America's Next Top Podcaster. Hello and welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. We're wrapping up Investigative Podcast Week, the sixth challenge of this season. Our team's mission? To create an investigative or true crime podcast. If you haven't heard the entries this week, they're all available on the feed. Coming up on today's show, we'll have the judging and elimination session, where our judging panel of Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young will be joined by special guest coach and host of Astonishing Legends, Scott Philbert. But before that, let's see what Coach Tom Merritt said about both teams after their planning sessions.
Live Action Renegade Podcasters have a great topic. What happened to the creator of Rocket Raccoon? It sounds like they are very worried about being distracted from their topic. And so I hope I was able to get them to focus. I didn't really have a chance to ask them to focus because they kept worrying that they were going to be distracted. And I tried to let them know that they have a great topic. Just focus in on what was interesting about that and write to that. I think what's great is they have an investigative topic that isn't just true crime, which is what you, where your mind always goes to with investigative stuff. So that could stand out really well. And I think they have a good chance to make something special here. Stick Figure Squad has your typical true crime thing, but wow, do they have a good one. And we did some good work in this session of making sure they were focused. And I could tell before I was done that their minds were already starting to whirl. They were already starting to move down the road they need to make this focused and make it a good production. I think Stick Figure Squad has the edge coming out of the gate, but we'll see.
This episode of America's Next Top Podcaster is brought to you in part by Rogue Amoeba. I use Rogue Amoeba's Fission for doing the editing of Coverville. I need something quick, I need something easy, and I need something that can create chapters. But Fission does so much more than that. Sure, you can use it to make quick edits to files, add fades, adjust volumes, and insert clips. But Fission can also batch convert multiple audio files at once into a multitude of formats like MP3, AAC, AIFF, WAV, and FLAC, and it does all of its edits losslessly. Usually when you edit an MP3 file, you're editing something that's already been compressed, and then exporting it out adds to the compression. Not with Fission. When you edit an MP3, you edit it losslessly, so it doesn't get double compressed. It's a great tool for podcasters who record to MP3 and don't want to sacrifice quality when they need to make simple edits. And right now, Rogue Amoeba wants to sweeten the deal. Use the code ANTP20 to save 20% off the price of Fission. You can use that code for 20% off of any of the other podcast tools like Audio Hijack, Farrago, and Loopback, or you can use it to save 20% off of the already discounted Ultimate Podcast Bundle. That code again is ANTP20. Visit rogueamoeba.com to learn more.
Hello, I'm Hammond Chamberlain, and today we're going to talk about breathing. Everybody breathes. No matter how hard you try to make them stop, you can't, not legally anyway. Removing the inhales before people talk can be a struggle. If you start, then you have to commit to it, because if you take all but one or two out, then those are going to be giant flashing things that your audience remembers. Deep breath from Waves does not work like a noise gate. It uses a template matching technology to detect breaths and separate them from the main signal. This happens automatically. It can save hours of time because in an hour show, there's a lot of breathing. For most of the shows I work on, I set it so that everyone still sounds alive, natural, and human. So some breaths are still there. That is a choice that I have made with my producing partners for my shows. Deep breath lets you control the amount of gain reduction applied to the breaths and add room noise to those spots to avoid unnatural holes in your conversation. There are a wide variety of controls and settings that can be fine-tuned to get what you want to hear out of your recordings. Wave's Deep Breath plugin is super intuitive and easy to use. Again, you can customize and save your settings to speed things up even more in post-production. We'd like to thank Waves for their support of America's Next Top Podcaster. They will be providing a gold package of plugins to this season's winner.
This episode of America's Next Top Podcaster is brought to you by Shure, a leader in professional audio equipment. The winner of America's Next Top Podcaster will receive Shure's SRH840 professional monitoring headphones, which are a great addition to any studio, even if it's a portable studio. Yeah, the Shure SRH840s are perfect for going mobile. They collapse for easy packing in your gear bag, and they've got the legendary Shure quality made to withstand the rigors of everyday use. They even come with convenient carrying pouch to keep everything together and safe in your big old bulky laptop bag. All this, and of course, the amazing sound quality that you've come to expect from Shure. They're the SRH840 professional monitoring headphones, and you can find them right now by visiting Shure.com. Thank you, Tom, for your feedback. We're now at the stage of the show where we do the judging, and you can't do judging without judges. It's right there in the name. Let's go ahead and introduce our judges. First up, we have Justin Robert Young from Night Attack Politics, 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 and The Jury Show.
Hi, friends.
It's good to have you here. Jenny Josephson from The Infinite, from Infinite Gain, not the, just, well, it's the Infinite Gain Studios, but...
There is no other, only Zool.
That's right. And Scott Johnson of the Frog Pants Network.
Hello, good to be back.
And we're joined by our very special guest judge this week. You guys heard him in the coaching show, but he's the co-host of Astonishing Legends, where he and his co-host Forrest have been investigating the unexplained since 2014. Scott Philbrick, welcome.
Thank you. It's very good to be here, even though I'm not the one with the good voice.
You've got a great voice, and you've got a great podcast. People should definitely check that out, Astonishing Legends. You guys, it's basically the X-Files of podcasting, I think. Do you have a favorite story that you've investigated for that show?
It's funny you should ask that. We've recently done a couple of series that are both, I feel very strongly about, that I really enjoyed. And I guess probably the top one is The Bette Sphere, which was a series about a family in Jacksonville, Florida that found it's, I love it because on the surface, it sounds like the most boring thing ever. They found a metal ball in a field, but, but once they brought it home, it appeared to be sentient, and it did all this crazy stuff, and the military got involved, and people came from foreign countries and offered them hundreds of thousands of dollars for it. And we managed to, the family hadn't been on the record in decades, and we managed to track down one of the family members that was present for everything. And wound up with a series of really great interviews with her.
Oh, wow.
And so that turned out, I really, really enjoyed that one. So that was a lot of fun.
That's cool. That sound you just heard, by the way, was everybody who subscribed to this podcast hitting pause all at the same time on this to go listen to that episode you just described, because that sounds fascinating.
Well, it's a series. They're going to need a lot of time. So I think they should, should stay here, and they can save that one for the next time they're flying to Australia.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Well, welcome. It's great to have you join us for Investigative Podcast Week. So appropriate to have you here. Judges, what kinds of things were you looking for in investigative podcasts? Let's start with Scott.
Well, I was hoping for a combination of things. I wanted an intriguing story, something that would grab me. And then I was looking for the kind of presentation that I really appreciate in this sort of stuff, which is, it doesn't have to necessarily be a conversational tone, but a show where I feel like the hosts or host is telling me this story, giving me all the background details, even with its interstitials and jump cuts and interviews and whatever, but doing it in a way that they're just sort of talking to me. An example I would use is the time I went to see a live This American Life presentation. I watched Ira Glass do this for the first time, and he always sounds like he's not reading, but he is always reading. And I really wanted that quality of that sort of I'm reading, but I'm not reading, and you'd never know the difference sort of experience, because that really draws me in and makes me forget about presentation and focus on story. Those are the things I was looking for most here. Mainly, the big thing obviously is I want something that's super intriguing and well covered. And I'm happy to say, for me anyway, one team did that this week. I wonder which.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, with me, it's, you know, I like to try and read and sound like I'm not reading well. And I think I accomplished that really well. I nail it.
Just be one of the legends of the craft. That's all you're asking. Simple task. Just be one of the all-time legends in their field.
Well, be as good as Ira Glass or your cut.
I guess if I would have said.
Also play baseball as well as Jose Canseco. And if you can, cook as well as Anthony Bourdain. And
then, well, it's a fair point, but I would remind you that all I said was, here's an example of what I mean. Aim for the sky is what I'm saying.
I actually agree with you, because to me, and I'm going to jump right in here.
Yes, please do. Yes.
It's education and presentation. This is what I'm looking for. What did I learn? And there is an art to laying that out. And how are you presenting it? Because this is, if I wanted to read a textbook, I'd read a textbook. If I wanted to actually get smart, instead I'm going to get smart the way that we all do now, which is listening to other people who presumably read a textbook, but let's be honest, settled for Wikipedia.
Perfect. And Jenny?
I was just looking for a coherent story narrative.
Good. All right.
That was a coherent answer.
That was, you know what? That was the thing. It's funny because the coaching time with Tom this week focused really, really specifically on the describe your concept in one sentence, in one short sentence. And he really hammered that home with both teams this week on, all right, you know, what's the one thing? What's the topic here? What's the thing that I'm going to be learning when I listen to this? So great. Well, I can't wait to start talking about our two shows this week. Let's start with LARP, the Lost Activity Research Panel. No, the Live Action Renegade Podcasters.
Yeah, we'll take either.
Will you take either? Okay. And their show, Paycheck to Paycheck. Concept on this was courtesy of David and Gabriel. Music was Travis and Gabriel. Everybody worked on the research for the subject matter. The interview with Stephen and Matt was conducted by David. Writing was David and Jen. Editing was Travis. The intro and outro is Gabriel. And Jen provided the narration.
Yep.
Tell us about the concept behind Paycheck to Paycheck.
So we started kind of going off of the idea of pitching some ideas of maybe going with movies and like taking the real story and not real story and find out what the real one is. Then from there, the movie conversation went into like comic books and comic movies and stuff, and kind of came into a situation of, well, people kind of get screwed in the comic industry. Let's kind of look into that. And we got into the Bill Mantlo story, which was the creator of Rocket Raccoon, who had was hit by a car in 92, and just all the insurance and other issues from there. Well, we were going to go down specifically just the comic book route, but as we started doing some investigation, it kind of turned into a family thing that, be honest with you, we did not have enough time to investigate as far as we wanted to. And that really is what kind of made us nervous about going about it, because we knew that we weren't going to do the story justice. So we took a step back and took a bigger picture, had the interview with the folks at Major Spoilers, and allowed us to kind of take a step back and go, okay, let's look at how people get paid, focus this week on the comic book industry, and kind of dance that narrative.
Kind of scaling it back, like you basically uncovered a gold mine of content, but
no way we're able to do it. Yeah, and not only weren't we able to do it, but like the investigation got to the point of like we're actually talking about going back and doing this separately ourselves, because it started getting to issues with the daughter and the brother taking care of the brother. Like, it's just too much for this, so we had to scale back to keep it from being overly complicated.
And the daughter is the one you almost had an interview with, correct?
So the daughter and I had a conversation, had quite a long exchange, and I also had contact with a brother as well, his brother. Okay. So we'll see what I can do, what happens with that later.
Yeah, that's great.
Let's just say Freedom of Information Act requests had to be filed to go with that story, and we did not have the time.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's now I'm completely fascinated. I'm hoping that this does see the light, because I know in the discussions I saw on Discord this week, it really is a lot of information, a lot of sad information, too unfortunate information that mm-hmm. you guys basically just had to kind of just talk about on a very surface level in the show. Just
and sift for a 15-minute show is impossible.
Right. Right. So Stephen Schleicher, you were able to get that hard to get a hold of guy. Boy, he's
nailed it.
He gave me some notes. He actually had a really good time with you guys for the interview. His only complaint was that it was initially a little bit vague on the reason that you were contacting him for the interview. Like, he didn't know the full story of what you were looking for, but that he said he had a lot of fun, and he says, you know, I'm no centrist or Jim Centrist or Terry Gross, but I think they did okay. So he was impressed with your interview.
When we initially contacted him, it was, which is very nice to hear they said that. It was initially sort of the idea was a lot more vague. And by the time that we talked to him, we had more focus, and we talked to him before the interview started of here's what's going on. But initially when we contacted him, we knew it was going to be comic books, but we didn't know the specifics yet.
Okay. And probably when you initially started talking to him, it was still while you were mm-hmm. talking to Bill Mantlo's daughter, right? So you didn't know.
Yeah, I literally had sent the message just over and hadn't heard back yet. So yeah, it was very early.
So very good. So, I mean, we saw earlier in the season, a team, you know, kind of shoot for the stars and get an interview that they're really hoping to get. And kind of seeing both sides of that risk, but you guys kind of had a backup plan. You had a plan B that worked out very well for this. So, excellent. Bed music on this one. Who picked the bed music?
With the exception of the first little bit that sort of sounded like a Marvel movie score, I picked the rest of them.
Let's go ahead and get to the reviews. We're going to start things off with Jenny.
Hi. So, okay. This was a really good idea. You take something people don't know about, you give it a hook that people can also relate to, right? And I just think it was a good idea, but it was backwards. So, and I think you guys did a great job of telling the story. It's just that to set the premise, the word paycheck to paycheck is so profound in so many people's lives. It's like a state of their condition. And you want to state the premise right up at the top that, like, you think this is about the world of comics and the world of comics into movies, and it seems like exciting and a cool career, but what we are going to talk about, even if you did it as like an intro statement to the whole podcast, it's like people living paycheck to paycheck, people not making it, even in areas you would never expect, right? So if you just set that up and then you start talking about Rocket Raccoon and the creator and stuff like that, you really get a better sense. You're almost like increasing the audience's curiosity. Is like, well, how could comic book artists be paycheck to paycheck? And it's like, here's how. Like that people want to listen. There were a couple rough edits here and there. I could hear them, but overall, just like really subtle stuff, like transitions in and transitions out of sound bites. But overall, I was super compelled, super interested, and I really would like to hear more. And if you need help with those FOIAs, I know a person.
Very good. Justin.
All right. So the theme of this week in my mind is expectation versus delivery. Because if you're going to be teaching me something, I need to know what I'm going to be taught. And then I'm going to judge you on how much I learned compared to when we started. So I'm with Jenny. I expected a series about low paying jobs. When I hear paycheck to paycheck, I tend to think of, you know, folks who work in and around minimum wage or even, you know, more than that, that, life has kind of squeezed them. Although it might be a subtle distinction, felt more like a larger story about exploitation. It took me about halfway through the episode to totally get the concept. But if you're going to tell the big story about this class of artisans that eventually discovered that not only was their work not something they needed to be ashamed of, but rather a gigantic economic engine for one of the largest entertainment companies on the planet, or several of the largest entertainment companies on the planet, then I kind of needed to get a little bit more of that big story and less of the comic artists get the flu when they go to cons. And that's where, to me, I feel like you wound up telling kind of two stories that in the abbreviated window that you guys had, it would have probably been fine for an hour show, because you could have bounced to the big and the small a lot easier. But in this small footprint, it felt very busy to me. And to be totally honest with you, and this had to be pointed out to me by Ibit, I totally missed the fact that he was in a car crash. You're the Rocket Raccoon guy. And that's something where it's so easy for somebody, for a listener, to lose a piece of information that if you are laying it out, you've got to make it. If you think that, oh, well, it's right there, I said it, it can't be in any way subtle. Like, and this is the kind of presentational element that if you guys were going to go forward, I think you need to pay more attention to. Everything being said, although I wished for a few more, numbersy things that you guys could have done just by back of the envelope math. Like, for example, if you added up all of the grosses of all of the movies that have Rocket Raccoon and then assigned some ridiculously low percentage, like 0.025, how much would that guy have in his pocket? Those are little math things that really can bring a listener in, because while I don't know the average of how much people should be getting paid as a comic book artist, I would certainly know if you're like, he would have been owed $250,000. I know $250,000. I know what that would do for me. And you got to make it a little bit more real. By and large, I enjoyed it, but those were my issues.
Makes sense. All right, Scott Johnson.
All right. I really liked this one. This was my favorite. And you might say, well, Scott, you love comics. You are an artist yourself. You do all this sort of thing. You're tapped into that stuff. And yeah, I am. And therefore, this is a really interesting topic to me. So you guys had me right off the bat with interest in it. The trick was making the rest of it click, like getting the story to click itself. You already had me with the subject matter. So then it was just a matter of, holding me throughout. And there were a couple of things I noticed that would have made it better, but for the most part, you're my favorite this week. The final edit, you might aim for better mic matching. I think you guys sound like you're in different places. Again, not a huge deal, especially given the kind of competition this is, and we're not all using the same mics and that sort of thing. I think that back to what I said at the top of the show about reading but not sounding like you're reading, I think some of that could use a little bit of work, but I think the interview subject of Steven Schleicher was the perfect pick for this, because he has actual real on the ground knowledge of what you're covering here and was a really, really good pick here. I'm partial to Steven's commentary. I think he does a really good job. And so I think he was a great pick. And for me, it's, you guys just did it for me this week. You had me the whole way. I was never going, oh, I wonder if I'm missing something. I mean, is Jury right that it would have been nice to have, some bits and pieces that maybe gave us a broader perspective of just how little these guys get for their creations? Absolutely. I think some of that could have been nice. That's the sort of stuff you might get suggested to in a first run, and then you go back and do another edit or whatever. And beyond that, though, I think that this went really well. So despite my bias for the material, which I know can be read a couple of different ways, I really, really like this one. I would say good job.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott.
Awesome. Thank you.
What's that? I'm sorry, Gabriel.
No, I said thank you.
Oh, Scott Philbrook.
Hello, everyone. I've seen a lot of competition shows, so I know as the celebrity guest judge, I get to be the nice guy.
That's right. That is the role you fill. Yes.
But I, you know what I did? I really enjoyed this. And Gabe, and if I can call you Gabe, I haven't met you before.
Absolutely.
But, and I see that that's how you're credited. When you said being worried about doing a story justice and having to scale it back because you got into so much stuff, I can't tell you how much you're reading my mail. That's just what happens to me and Forrest, my co-host, on every show we do. And we're not restricted on time. So we get to go as long as we want on something and as deep as we want. And, you know, some people don't like that. Other people like us because of that. In a way, I think it makes us less accessible in the long run for people. You know, a lot of people that come to podcasts, they look and they see, if they see some huge runtime, it freaks them out and they don't even ever click play the first time. So there's ups and downs to every approach on that, but it's nice that you guys have the passion to say, oh my God, look at this story. It's amazing, which is what happens to us every week on our show. We really want to do this justice, but you know, right now we need to make this work for this. And believe it or not, that happens to us too. So I can totally relate to that. We're trying to get better at throwing things out so that our multi-part series are 10 hours instead of 30 or whatever. So we're working on that ourselves. So, I want to acknowledge the fact that that's something that I can really relate to. I did feel a lot like there, it took me a minute to get up to speed on this too, agreeing with some of the other judges. I didn't fully understand where we were going with the title of the show. And even the tagline, the show about unconventional jobs and the people who work them, I felt like that's not exactly where we went. It was more about, I guess, the injustices for these writers. I'm married to a writer, so I could relate to that part of it. I've watched her be railroaded for 20 years in Hollywood. So I wanted to latch on to that. And it's the same thing with the line, a closer look at the intricacies of getting paid in the world of comics. It's good that you wanted to introduce the overview there, but I felt like that was too broad. I wanted it to be a little more specific because I found myself not really understanding where the train was going until we were way down the track. And, my other note would be that it was a little bit of inside baseball. You know, unlike Scott Johnson, I don't know anything about comics. I mean, I know a little bit. Of course, I saw Avengers Endgame, and I love Rocket. I'm a huge fan of Rocket. So I wanted to hear, I didn't know anything about Mantlow, though. So when you mentioned Rocket and the character and what had happened with Mantlow, I actually wanted to know a little bit more about that, which brings me to my bigger note, which was I would like to have heard just a little more humanity in it, because there was a lot of clerical information, which is all real important. But again, with, you know, our other judge, I can't remember who said it, missing the idea that Mantlow had been hit by a car. I actually wanted to know a lot more about that story, which may be the one you had to leave on the table. But I, you know, when you made that decision, I might have balanced it a little differently to get more of some of that humanity into it, because that sucks me in as a listener, not being somebody from the comic book world, but very intrigued with the overall big picture. And you know, oh my God, I can't believe this guy got, he's been in a hospital bed since 92. And on top of that, he's getting ripped off. I wanted to hear a little bit more about that. I also thought that in some cases, editorially, I thought it was very well done. I do think that there were some of the sound bites that, is it Schleicher?
Oh, Schleicher.
How do you pronounce his name, Stephen? Mm-hmm. Schleicher, excuse me. Some of his sound bites were really great. It might have been interesting to take one of those and move them up to the top of the show and have that sort of set the stage for what's coming after it, to sort of to get your listener involved and like, oh wow, what's this guy talking about, and then kind of deconstruct that after you hear what he's saying. Overall, I thought it was a lot of very well researched information, though. It was a little difficult to keep track of all the people, especially not knowing there were names that came out, and I was like, I don't know who that is. This person helped that person. That's great. I'm not really sure who that person is. So I might have liked just a little bit of an extra description about, I think there was a Neil Adams mentioned. I don't know who he is. So who was he to the comic book world or to everybody else? Why should I care about his involvement in this particular situation? That sort of thing. And, and editorially, the only other like edit there was, yes, there were some choppy edits. There was one in particular that was, Stevens, when he says, fine, I'll sign this check, where it's like very obviously his sentence has been completely cut in half, which sometimes I get you have to do. Who knows what happened after that? But that was kind of an abrupt edit that sort of pulled me out of things for a minute. So I might have want to heard a few extra words on the back of that if you can find them, or patch something together just to smooth that out just a hair. But overall, though, I really enjoyed the amount of information that I got from it. I had to, you know, I went back and listened to it a second time and I took a lot more out of it. And I also liked the way the music was used in it as well, and the overall energy of it.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about that the subject of this show, Paycheck to Paycheck, isn't specifically comic books. So you're going to get people who come into this thing, maybe who don't even know who Rocket Raccoon is. It's a very good perspective of giving a little bit more information about Neil Adams.
To me, it reminded me a little bit of what Planet Money does for NPR, or what it could be, that kind of show. Planet Money is, it sounds like on the surface, oh, this is just going to be stock market and money and, you know, all that. But instead, it's like really interesting, deep stories about some of the weirdest things and how they came to be. They have something tied to money, but it can be even something small, like, you know, a small business owner, an entire story might be just about the thing they invented and how after they died, it ended up taking over the world or whatever. This seems like the kind of show that would be that sort of thing where you would end up in all sorts of industries and it would just be a matter of you finding the best stories about people who were either shafted or living to paycheck to paycheck quite literally or whatever. It didn't bother me that these things weren't, you know, that the name doesn't exactly 100% match the subject matter because I feel like there's some wiggle room there.
Yeah, I do agree that you have to fall in love with the subject though. And that was the thing that I think could have been used, even if obviously this panel knows who Rocket Raccoon is. If there's a moment where we get to, in a 3-second clip, kind of remember, so it's super fresh, exactly how much we love Rocket Raccoon, or to hear some old review of like what a revelation Rocket Raccoon was in the first Guardians of the Galaxy. That does kind of cement things a little bit more, and it heightens the tragedy of what happened to the creator.
If I may chime in for a second.
Of course.
I think ultimately, like, and we agree wholeheartedly, we're talking as well about it. Like, and maybe this is something that we could maybe get lessons from for in the future. I really do think, and we could all agree, we backpedaled hard. Like, we got not so much intimidated, but a little, I guess, scared, intimidated of when we started talking to these people about Mantlo's specific condition and the situations and kind of the environment that surrounded it. We backpedaled away because we were getting messages of, hey, remember that you're talking about another life here that is in a very delicate balance. Like, be careful with what you're putting out there. Be very careful with what you say. So to a degree, I think we really did backpedal away to go, okay, we can mention this. Let's not get ourselves in trouble or something.
So wait, you were afraid that you saying something would screw up any ability for him to get money, and you were worried about that?
There were some comments about legal situations, which is why we had to be very careful about who and what was involved in the conversations.
Yeah, you do have to watch out for that. You actually can, and you can get insurance for that called errors and omissions insurance, E&O insurance, or professional liability.
Noted!
Which is something, that's something that we're just now looking into. And there's not a lot of companies that will cover podcasts, actually. They're like, what? And then there's other companies that when they hear you're an entertainer, they just hang up because it's so fraught with danger. And so you're wise to be concerned about that. And in the bigger picture, it's something to watch out for. We encounter the same thing because we occasionally have shows that have a medical bent to them, and I just get super paranoid about those. We always put a disclaimer on the front of them.
But you want to know what? That is something where you wound up going into a big meta direction that I would have been fine if Mantlo was just a little cherry on top.
Yeah,
right. Like, nobody knows how much effort you put into it. You know how much effort you put into it, but ultimately, people listening, that's all that they hear. So if you talk to them and they're like, hey, look, we're really cool helping you with your, you know, a project here, but just so you know, these medical bills are real, and there's a chance that we do actually see a gigantic check from Disney. It would be really bad if we didn't because we participated or helped you in any way. Like, I get pulling back there, but ultimately I'm really kind of glad that you guys said that there was a backpedaling, because that's something that, to be totally honest, I felt with both of these projects, was that there was no confidence. I felt that there was a lot of work, there was a lot of effort, but I didn't feel authority from either to say, this is the story that you need to know, because I'm going to give you, and this any kind of podcast like in this genre is going to give you the greatest gift that podcasting can give a listener. And that is the ability to repeat a story to somebody else at work or home that you're going to take full credit for as a listener and not credit that you heard it on a podcast. Like that's exactly what you guys have the opportunity to do. And
also you won't be wrong because you trust the source that it came from.
Exactly. Yeah. But you have to do it with a little like, this is it. And that comes through. So I'm glad that you guys said that.
Good. Very good. Yeah, that's a tough decision to make too. You know, when to decide to pull back and shoot for a different tack and look at a different subject or look at a much broader subject like you did with this one. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, LARP. We'll talk to you a little bit later. We're going to move over to Stick Figure Squad. Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hello. We'll see.
Yeah.
Some trepidation there. Your show, Cult Case, concept was by Melissa, as well as the show format. Research was, everybody was involved in that. Script writing was Bobby and Melissa. Script editing was Kristen and Melissa. Music was Kristen, and editing and sound design, Bobby. It's a big subject. I know you guys worked really, really hard on it. And the research that went into this, I just know from watching your Discord how much work all of you put into really getting to the bottom of this topic. So
yeah, a bunch of late
yeah
nights.
Yes,
sure. So explain the concept behind Cult Case.
Okay, I'm guessing that's
yeah.
So originally there were other ideas that came up, but we kind of just went in this direction of like true crime, and then I threw out what was the other topic we went on, cults and malpractice, sorry, couldn't think of that word. Those were the two that we were thinking of, and then really I felt like the team was okay with anything, so just a decision had to be made. So we went with cults, and then we were like, okay, let's research cults. So Kristen and Bobby did initial research because I didn't have time, and Bobby had researched the cult that we went with, and then we just did it because something had to be done. So we made a decision and went with it and researched, and I kind of felt it was hard because we didn't have any news reports. We didn't have any newspaper. We didn't have any audio clips. We didn't have anything to work with on this case. And it was pretty far in the week at this point. So we couldn't backpedal and be like, okay, let's pick a case where we do have those things. And so the format was just what the format ended up being. And we felt like if Bobby was just the only one reading all of it, it would have been very one note. And so I did bring up the idea, and I think the team, I don't like speaking for people, but I do think the team thought it needed something else. And so again, it was just one of those things that needed a decision to be made. And so we're like, okay, let's try all three of us and see how it goes. And
yeah, because that was one of
the challenge.
Challenging challenge.
Is Bobby all right? Do we need to reboot Bobby? Is he stuck in a loop? No, I know exactly what you're saying. And I know this was something that when you were getting your coaching with Tom, that he was very focused on, is doing the multiple voices in a podcast. And like you said, if you don't have newspaper clippings or interviews, something that you can break up and say, okay, well, Bobby will read the story, but then we're going to have Melissa and Kristen recap the interviews. There's probably other ways of doing that, like thematic changes, where when you're talking about the initial murder and the surface level, doing that with one person, and then as you get deeper and deeper into the discovery of this whole cult situation, having that be read and discussed by a different person. But so the other thing that Tom really worked you guys hard on was nailing down the question that your show answers. Was that the point of realization of the starting point of your show when Tom was working you over on that, or did that even further evolve after the coaching session with Tom, what that question was?
Yeah. Yeah, we initially were going to focus on just Karen and kind of more focus on her and her story and then build the cult stuff around that. And Tom was really kind of pushing us like, but why? Like, what question are you trying to answer? And so then that pushed us in the direction of focusing more on, was it a real cult and like that's the reason for these murders, or was it just something that happened to be like an excuse for pinning it on someone, essentially.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the judges here. We're going to start this one with Justin.
All right. So I really liked this subject matter. There's a reason why true crime is the number one version of this this genre. People love the blood and guts. They love understanding the bizarre, awful, macabre elements of our world. The problem I had here was the execution. And that is, this was so rat-a-tat in the details. And when we're talking about two sex workers who were definitely getting pimped out by the same dude, but may or may not be part of a cult together. And then there's another sex worker who fits the same descriptions that definitely got killed, and that's why they went to the police. I got lost, and I was unable to kind of keep my bearings through everything. And then by the time that we get to, you know, the super graphic, crazy details, to be totally honest with you, after my first listen, I wasn't sure which one of the first ladies that we knew that got killed, or first that were in that police box, wound up getting killed, or which one that we were talking about. I know that the bad guy eventually went to jail, but by the time that we got to the end and we had the question get resolved of like, was this fake or was it a cover up? I was like, oh yeah, I remembered, like, oh, I guess we're supposed to be suspicious of this initial eyewitness. So good to me. I very much like the subject matter. I think that there are other clever ways that you guys can bring in a little bit more color and voice. You know, this is like just one of my favorite little tricks is if you're trying to set a tone of when things are happening, literally just pick the theme song to the most popular television show on that day, right? Or some news headline that just brings us into this world so we can kind of understand a little bit better, get a feeling for where we are. Because again, the more real, the more touchstones that we as listeners can relate to ourselves, the more we're going to feel suspense, terror, revelation as you take us through the story. So good instinct, but I got lost and I wound up drifting away.
Thank you, Justin. Scott Johnson.
Well, that would be me. So I really wanted to like this one. I think that you guys, members of this team throughout the competition have been some of my favorite, strongest showers. And for some reason, this just fell a little flat for me. And I don't know why. As I listened, I tried to pinpoint it. At first, I thought, well, it's another one of these very dramatic intros where Bobby's very dramatic in his tone, but actually kind of works here, sort of. But I also don't like the music in the background so much because it felt like, I don't know, Jason or Mike Myers kind of music. Michael Myers, that is, not the comedian Mike Myers. I don't know what his music is, but anyway.
Oh, behave.
There you go. I think the reason is I also really like this, and I'm very particular about this in documentaries that I really admire or respect. I like the ones that don't have to pump up or gin up the drama for me through these other methods. They can just say the facts and show, in the case of video, show the facts. And then I am left to just be the jury. And I really like that in my podcast as well, especially true crime podcasts. In fact, I would actually argue that the reason Serial is such a mega popular hit is because of that. There's no attempt to just overly dramatize any of it. It's just, let's go. Let's talk to the people. Let's make the thing. Let's talk about the facts. Let's just make a thing. And that really, really works for me. So a little bit of that was a little over the top for me. I've also been watching a lot of Halloween movies, so maybe some of that's but anyway, I also think that I get the choice to round robin read it. I think it wasn't my favorite idea, though, and I'm not 100% sure what a better solution might have been. But it felt a little jarring to go between the personalities in that way when it's not a discussion, but it's a hand off the baton and the next guy or gal talks. So it didn't work for me in this one. It seemed like the kind of technique that might in another kind of subject matter, maybe, but for whatever reason, that kind of left me a little wanting. And I don't know why. I really wanted to like this one. Like, I really, really did. And I just found it a little forced and uneven. And it's normally, you know, this kind of true crime stuff, like cults and that kind of thing. This stuff fascinates me. Like, my Netflix queue is weird looking because I have a lot of documentaries about this kind of stuff, and I like it. It's interesting to me to just see what the heck's wrong with people, and I like studies in that, and I wanted this to lead me more like that, and it just didn't this time. And if I seem like I don't really know why, it's because I am feeling a little bit of that, of like, I'm not sure why it didn't work for me, but in this case it didn't.
If they ever start profiling people because of their Netflix queues, Scott, you're probably going to be on the list, right? Is that what you're
probably
saying?
Probably. Well, then FilmSack screws us up even further, dude.
Right. He likes serial killer documentaries and Nicolas Cage movies. All right, yeah. Yeah, let's go pick him up right now.
And for some reason, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. This is all, we don't understand him. Get him in for study.
All right, very good. Jenny.
Oh, guys, you guys. I just found this overall pretty unlistenable. And I hate saying that when I hear how much effort goes into it, because, God, you all have proved your effort so, so much. But the mistakes that I'm hearing in this are mistakes that we've talked to you about before. Like, the overdramatic tone on a serious topic is, to me, really somewhat inexcusable, because we gave you that note, right? We told you, like, dial that back, because your topic is dramatic enough. You don't need the over. It disempowers your topic, right? And I felt like it was, in a way, so sensationalist with the music and the everything that it just got buried. So, like, I would really ask and hope that you would hear the things that we say in one week, because they go into another week. Like, they matter in another week. And I just, like everyone else, I was confused. I'm kind of going to let Scott take this, because he's Phil Brook, because he's got so much more experience in this. But I was just like, it felt like a week where the lessons were not being learned when they could have been learned. And I just, like, I hate sensationalizing stuff like this, especially when it's about women. But I hate it more when it's not done right. And it just ends up feeling like maybe a little bit exploitative. So sorry, guys. I did not like this one.
All right. Well, thank you, Jenny. Let's move over to Scott Philbrook.
This whole process. First of all, I have no idea what notes you guys have received in the prior weeks. I'm totally new to everything that's happening here. And this whole process is very sobering for me, because a lot of the feedback that the other judges have given just before me, I've heard about my own show on iTunes. So,
well, Scott, very, we've been meaning to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
this
no,
is actually, I mean, an intervention. And
well, and that's one thing I'll say to everybody, is that if you're not trying to make each show better than your last, you're not doing it right. And to another extent too, if you don't bristle a little bit at the idea of listening to one of your older shows, then you haven't come a long way. So, you know, I think for me, it's hard to give notes that I've been given myself, and I'm not convinced that I've addressed them on my own show, but I'm working to every time. And so is Forrest, my co-host. But
So some of my notes are counter to some of the other ones here, although I see the points of view of the other judges. I actually, one of the things I did like was that how you found out right out of the gate what's going on in comparison to the other show and competition here. I did like that we immediately heard what this overall story was about. And I actually didn't mind, was it Bobby's performance?
Mm-hmm.
The editorializing of the performance at the beginning, I didn't realize that was a note that's been going on for prior productions. But it is definitely a tone decision, which is something you have to make every time you do anything. It's like, how much are you going to be 60 minutes, or are you going to be hard copy or whatever, which you guys probably don't remember hard copy. But I'm saying, like, the how sensationalized do you want to get with it? But in another way, the energy of that did initially bring me into the show. And coming back to the round robin reading, I too can see why you guys did that, because you didn't want to have it all come from one angle necessarily. But by the same token, the differences in the performances was felt kind of disjointed. Because Melissa and Kristen, you guys were more of a flatter, straighter, no-nonsense read. And then Bobby's was more, had more drama to it. And I hear what Scott Johnson is saying about documentaries. Because, you know, of course, I like that, too. I like, you know, Ken Burns or whatever. It's kind of flat. It's Peter Coyote, that kind of thing. But on the other hand, I guess it just depends on what you're expecting from the show when you go into it. The music, I agree, it was like it's in the right neighborhood, but it didn't feel quite right. And as it went on, there was too much of it for me. Like I wanted it to either go away or change. And that's always a hard thing too. That's something that we had a real hard time on our show with, was implementation of music and sound design. In our early shows, the sound design is horrific. It's we were stopping everything down and playing these long sound design segments. And I look back at it and I'm just like, what in the hell were we thinking? And so we've gotten better with that now. And now, you know, there's some of this stuff that just comes, frankly, from experience and doing it over and over. Unless you've been trained before you started podcasting. And for people who started in radio, they have that benefit. All the rest of us, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire. You just trial by fire. You just do it. And you learn along the way, no matter how slick you want to be coming out of the gate, you learn about a lot of things that you weren't doing right. But so for me, the music wasn't quite right, and there was a little bit too much of it. But my biggest overall criticism was this, the amount of information. And I think this is one of the biggest challenges, which I've talked about before, with an investigative show and an investigative topic. And in a way, you know, the fact that you guys were presented with having to do this in 15 minutes, it's just... like that gives me the shivers. I don't think I could pull that off. So with this kind of show, that said, we are trying to develop a shorter version of our own show. But when I think about how we're going to come at that, it actually our approach is going to be more of a topical one as opposed to a specific investigation. But the thing about an investigation is, and I think I said this last week or when we spoke before, was is that you have to go in and learn everything so that you can decide how to parse a story out of that and what you're leaving out. And you need to sound like you know all of that stuff and that you're cherry picking without distorting the story, what is going to keep it interesting and without changing the story, but also you can't get everything in there. So for me, it was hard to keep up with everyone, all the players in this story and what was happening and who was arrested and that sort of thing. So that would be my biggest criticism of this particular one. And just like I said, the overall tone was a little rocky for me.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. All right. Both teams, it is time to announce the winner for this week. Again, scores were close. We've had closer, but this was a pretty close week. And, so that speaks, to the effort that both teams put into it. So very good. This week, the winning team is the Live Action Renegade Podcasters with Paycheck to Paycheck. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Judges, what were the big successes? Like if they were to take one piece of information from this to carry forward through the rest of the competition, what is that one piece that they should look at? Justin?
I was able to remember what you said. I mean, not all of it, but some of it. I mean, to be totally honest, I was not super high on either, but I think you guys did a better job of it.
For me, it was simply having a format and sticking to it. It felt like you guys knew what you wanted it to do. I mean, I will agree with some of the criticism that neither show this week felt like they were very confident. Again, we're talking in the higher echelons of this competition. You guys are already really good at this, but there was a sense of holding back. And I would say that's true here as well. But I think this one more so dove into the thing they were going to talk about, got to the meat of the topic for me, and brought me some info I had no idea about, even though I'm sort of in that world. So I was impressed by that. I still think this was a pretty exceptional episode on the week.
Very good. And I'm excited to see what happens going forward with this too, with the show that kind of got shelved temporarily to focus on the 15 minutes for the competition. Very interested to see how you guys take the bigger topic that you guys have a lot of research now that you've uncovered to put into something else. So let us all know when you've got that. All right. Well, and that means we've got to talk about the bottom team and who's going to be going home this week. Boy, again, this, I keep saying every week how much harder this gets, and we just fall in love with you guys week after week and get to know you, and which makes this thing a lot more difficult. So the person going home this week, the judges have decided, is going to be Melissa. I'm so sorry, Melissa.
I knew it was going to happen. I called it a long time ago.
Did you? What you mean? You called it for this week, or you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Judges, what you know? Again, before we even get to the judges, it always needs to be underlined that you are one of the 12 best that we picked for this season. So there's being in the top 12 of anything is a fantastic achievement. So I really want to underscore the fact that you beat out several dozen other people for being on the show. So that is because we do see the greatness in you and the talent and the even more potential that you've got. So excited to have you in this competition. Judges, anything to add? Because I'm choking on my words here.
I mean, I would add one quick thing, which would be of all of the competition this year, or this season, I should say, I think Melissa is doing the best work outside of the show. And by that, I mean her current podcast and the stuff she's working on and the topics she covers are incredibly important. And sometimes, you know, I look at podcasting and go, yeah, I do a wacky morning show and check out my video game shows. Those are fun too, everybody. And I'm bringing, you know, maybe some laughter, maybe some fun to the world. I don't know, maybe some good commentary, but I don't know if I'm really helping individual people in the way that I believe she is. And so it's weird. It's like I don't know how to compare what to compare this to in any other facet of life or other industry, but it feels like she's doing important work there. And while it's going to be the show's loss that she's no longer here, I think that can't be understated, that kind of thing is important. I wish more of that content existed. I think it's hard to make, hard for people to acknowledge they should listen to it and change their lives. Like this is really important stuff. And I'm not sure I've been able to say that about anyone else who has left, at least for work they were already doing when they joined the competition. So keep that up, because I think people need it.
And for listeners, I'm going to say it's Sometimes in Shambles. I want to make sure that we get the name of the podcast out there so people can go check it out, because it is an important show. And
she does a really good job with that show.
Also be part of this competition.
I know.
Look. Hey, look, there is no reason why. I mean, we're not at Melissa's funeral here.
Sometimes it feels like it.
The point, I'm crying a lot.
This show is to get eliminated. Everybody gets eliminated. Yeah. Even the winner doesn't show up the next week because there is no episode the next week. There is no reason to do anything but have your head held high. These are impossible of things to do. They are very, very hard tasks. Melissa, you did an excellent job. This was not anything that I think, you know, is ask anybody else to put together a podcast like this, and they would have no idea how to even start. You guys did a very, very, very good job that we were forced to find flaws in. And I will say this to everybody else who is still in this competition. It only gets harder from here. And to be totally honest, I think that you guys were putting out stronger work 3 weeks ago than you have the last 3 weeks.
Like, yep.
This is something that is not getting better. And I think that unfortunately, when you're on the way out, when you're in where Melissa is, then you can enjoy the fact that this has been very, very hard. But for the rest of you guys, you need to double down, because the last few things, it seems like you've gotten less confident, and there have been more mistakes made than initially when I thought you guys were a way better group than what happened before. So, Melissa, hold your head high. This was a very, very, very good job. But for the rest of you guys, it's time to step up.
Well, and I'll say one of those weeks was comedy. So I'll take the brunt on that one.
I mean, look, again, I prefaced all this by saying that these are impossible to do.
But
right?
That's the most impossible of the impossible.
That's the role in which we have put ourselves correct. In, and that's what you guys have chosen.
Absolutely.
You know, that this is what we do on this crazy of a bizarre Marquis de Sade experiment that Brian likes to put on once a year.
I would just jump in and say that, Melissa, I think you did a fantastic job. I think you persevered all throughout this podcast competition. I think that I literally have not been able to keep a job since I was 21 years old. I get eliminated from the competition of employment like once every 2 years. So please don't think of it as failing. Think of it as accumulating excellent experience. I really mean that. Like, you know the whole thing about tech companies where they don't even really want to fund you unless you've had one failed startup, right? Because they want you to have gone through all of the work so that now you know exactly what you want to do so they can give you $1 billion and you can overvalue yourself. No, I'm running away with the metaphor. I think you did a fantastic, fantastic job. I really want to keep hearing from you. And I don't want you at all to feel like this shakes your faith in what you do, because you're actually doing the hardest thing out there, which is sharing your own personal experience in a way that is honest and emotional, and you should take that and run with it.
Very good. All right. Was any, do you want to, any, are you okay to say?
Yeah. I'm crying a lot, but it's just like, I don't know. I have a lot to say, but I don't know if this is the place to say it, but
we have Arizona emissions insurance, so we're covered, like, whatever you say.
The competition really, like, I don't know. I don't want to sound cocky, but it kind of did show me like how good I actually am at this, because I feel like every week, things that I've told all of my teams are things the judges point out, and, or even things I don't tell my team, but just have in my mind. but yeah, it kind of sucks going home when, you know, like a decision had to be made this week, several decisions had to be made, and I was just the name, the person that stepped up and made the decision. And so I get sent home for that. But it's not like a fail to me. It's like I worked hard and my name was on it, and so I got sent home. Like,
and it's, well, and it's still something to be very proud of, you know, what you guys put together. And again, you know, somebody has to go home every week, so it's a tough thing that the judges have to do in picking who that person is, kind of based on the different parts of the show that we heard. And I know it's somebody deciding your fate in this show based on hearing 15 minutes of work, even though it's a week of work that they're not hearing. And I totally get that. But we love you, and we are so glad that you are a part of this second season.
Thank you.
All right, let's get to next week's challenge. And here we are. We're like 6 weeks into this thing. So by now, you guys have probably all figured out the top eight things that every podcaster should know, right? Or, I don't know, the top three things that make someone get voted out of a reality race competition. No? Well, you need to keep listening, because lists are a great way to immediately pull someone into a podcast, because it's like answering a question that they didn't even know that they asked. Once you hear that there are five foods that will keep you from looking old, you immediately want to know what they are. And some podcasts are entirely about lists, like, as you might guess, The Weekly List with Amy Susskind, You're on the List, and 20-30-10, all of which I heard about on a podcast about the most popular list podcasts. Of course, right before that, I got sucked into several episodes of The Best and Worst of Walt Disney World, where they do the top five and bottom five of all things related to Walt Disney. Your challenge this week is to record and produce an episode of a podcast series that is devoted to lists. The topic and genre are up to you, as is the number of items that you include in your list on your 15-minute show. Live Action Renegade Podcasters, as winners this week, you're going to get a bonus. And coincidentally, the person that you just had on your investigative podcast, Steven Schleicher, is the host of Top 5, a weekly podcast that gives a top 5 list of things that might include comics, but could also include tabletop games, vacation destinations, and movie directors. He's going to spend another 15 minutes with you guys to answer your top 10 questions about creating a list-based podcast. Now, I am not going to shuffle the teams around because I think that there is value in a lean, mean fighting machine. We saw that last season when the Ruth Bader Ginsburgs got knocked down to just two players, and it kind of gave them a different focus, a different energy. So we're going to see how things go here with a team of four and a team of two. I don't think that there's any real advantage into having a big team in this challenge. So we're going to see what happens. Any questions about this challenge?
You said 15 minutes. That was on purpose? Got it.
That was on purpose. Yep. It's going to be a 15 minute episode again. All right. Judges, what kinds of things should they be going for in their list podcast? Scott.
Really good lists. As long as you're looking for that. No, this is one of those where I don't have an expectation, really. Because it's not really a thing I look for or I'm into. I mean, I know this is funny because, like, Brian's super into lists, and once in a while we'll do stuff on the morning show that is like right down that alley, and it's always a good time, but it's never the focus of what we do. And so I'm very curious about what this focus does, and I don't have an expectation for it because it's not really a thing I seek out. So I guess it sounds horrible, but impress me, I guess, your rad list podcast.
It probably feels weird after a very specific comedy podcast week, a very specific investigative podcast week, that this feels, I mean, this is a little bit more genre wide. Like you can go in the entertainment industry, you can go politics, you can go, you know, with whatever subject matter. And it's a show that rests in that genre, but pulls out a different five things to talk about every week. Justin,
this is basically the same challenge in a different form factor from this week. You are doing research. It doesn't matter if these are your opinions. What you need to do is, again, give the greatest gift a podcast can give a listener, a thing that they can repeat. And if you expect something, if you're doing the best, you know, Star Wars movies, I swear to God, nobody did best Star Wars movies. I regret putting that evil into the world because no one needs another one of those. But there's professionals that are doing it very well. Like, let's talk about Star Wars. That's fine.
Well said. Good recovery.
I'm saying, yeah, we don't need more. Anyway, back it up. Back it up with data. Any opinion that you have, back up with two facts that you can find anywhere. This is the best part about statistics, is you can find anything in our modern era that backs up any wacky claim that you might have. So just do me a favor and do that. I want to smell the effort here. Brian is giving you a challenge where you don't have to think about the format. You have to, the only thing you have to think about format-wise is how many of these things you're going to list. That is a gift to you guys. So you need to knock it out of the park when it comes to why these things are on the list.
Very good. Jenny, anything to add?
Don't like push through the tired and do the best work. Do all the work. Do the thought work, the research work, the production work. I know it's hard. You guys must be so exhausted, but your middle doldrums are done. Now it is time to excel beyond your amazing already excelling.
Very good. All right. Well, one more time, I want to thank Scott Philbrook for joining us. Thank you once again, Scott. And what if you're going to tell someone to check out a recent episode to kind of get a flavor of what Astonishing Legends is all about? What's a good episode for them to check out?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I think it depends on what you want to hear. Our show varies from very fringy to historical. And so we encourage people to go and look at the catalog and pick something out that intrigues them. So, you know, we've covered things like the Voynich manuscript recently, which is a puzzling book that no one can figure out what it means, what its contents means. Then we also just had a guy on who says he was abducted by aliens and his story is absolutely terrifying, whether you believe it or not. So you just have to go and I think pick something out that you think will strike a chord with you.
Fantastic. All right. And thanks to our other judges, Justin Robert Young.
Yes.
Jenny Josephson.
Agree.
And Scott Johnson. I don't know what I was looking for there. Just, it's like taking roll at the end of the episode. Thank you guys for being here. And big thanks to our behind-the-scenes folks, Hammond Chamberlain, Monica Stone, Alex Albisu, and of course, music by Andrew Allen. Thank you all. We'll see you next time right here on America's Next Top Podcaster.
That's it for this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Join us next week as our team see if making a list podcast is as easy as 1, 2, 3. But before we go, let's hear from this week's eliminated contestant, Melissa.
Thanks for listening to America's Next Top Podcaster. I am Melissa, and my time has come to an end as I was just eliminated. Scott Johnson, Jenny Josephson, and Justin Robert Young are our judges, and Tom Merritt is our coach. Hammond Chamberlain is our producer, and Brian Ibbett is our executive producer and host. Monica Stone is our social media coordinator, and make sure to listen for follow-up interviews with Alex Albisu. Music is by Andrew Allen. Find him online at andrewallenmusic.com. To learn more about this podcast, visit americasnexttoppodcaster.com. Follow us on Twitter at Podcasting Idol and discuss the game with other fans on Facebook at facebook.com/americasnexttoppodcaster. Although I am upset about being eliminated this week, this competition has given me a ton of confidence in my own abilities as a podcaster and a producer, and I'm proud that I was able to leave little sprinkles of my mental health podcast throughout this competition on season 2, and I will catch all of you guys over at Sometimes in Shambles. Bye!